if I would write his theme song. I'm almost halfway finished. How do you like it so far? How do you like the theme to Gary Show? This is the theme to Gary Show, the opening theme to Gary Show. This is the music that you hear as you watch the credits. We're almost to the part of where I start to whistle. Then we'll watch it's Gary Shandling Show. This was the theme to Gary Shandling Show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Dan Aykroyd Podcast. I am your host, Scott White. And I am up in Canada with the Canadian movie crew guys. And I'm actually in the room with one of them. But I'm not going to tell you which one. You guys are going to have to figure it out by listening to this podcast. By the audio quality.
Which one of us sounds different?
Derek and Mark, they are back. Say hello to everybody.
Well, happy to be here.
One of these things is not like the other. Hey, thanks for having me over to the lush. Oh, wait, sorry. I'm not going to give it away. I mean,
I was going to say,
man, he blew.
I blew it.
30 seconds in.
I blew the bit. Oh, no.
I was just about to say, welcome to Ottawa, Scott.
Yeah.
So I am in Ottawa, and we are doing the final episode of It's the Gary Shandling Show, which ran on Showtime from, I believe, from 86 to 90.
Wow.
Yes. So it ran for 4 years, and this was the final episode. Now, do either of you remember this show? Have either of you seen this show?
No.
I thought it was a talk show, like a late night, you know, David Letterman, Jimmy Fallon style show, that the Gary Shandling Show. I didn't know it was a sitcom.
It was a sitcom parody.
For 4 years? Holy.
Yes.
How do you milk that for 4 years?
To me, this was Shandling Night Live. This was a Saturday Night Live parody. Because he acknowledged the audience. There was no fourth wall to break.
Yeah.
And it's almost like it was like a stand-up routine. If a joke didn't go over, he just acknowledged it and goes, I didn't give you enough time to react to that.
It went on for 4 years, and this was the last episode, called Driving Miss Gary, which brings in Dan Aykroyd, because they're parodying, not only they're parodying a sitcom, they are also, parodying Driving Miss Daisy. And so have either of you seen Driving Miss Daisy?
Yeah.
No. No, I am totally out of the loop in all of this.
But you know, do you know the
I know of it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, Derek, you're from the same town as Dan Aykroyd. Do you know who that is? Like, do we have a baseline for you?
Was Dan Aykroyd in Driving Miss Daisy?
No. Yes. Wait, was he?
He was nominated for an Academy Award for Best Supporting Actor.
I forgot. It's been so long. I just remember Daisy. That's enough.
He's playing the character he played in the movie.
What was the character? We'll have to go through this because
the character in the movie is Miss Daisy's son, and she can't drive, so he hires a chauffeur, Morgan Freeman, and
hilarity ensues.
Yes, hilarity and racism ensues.
Yeah.
So that's the concept. The beginning of the episode is Gary gets into a golf cart and he reverses it into his kitchen, and then his wife comes out, and then while the credits are going, we see her acting like he's scared because he just backed it up. Now, what we didn't get is this sitcom had a standard opening. This is the theme to Gary Show. And
So did he break the fourth wall?
Every show? Every show he broke the fourth wall.
Wow.
So we missed the iconic theme song for this show, and I'm going to put it in. I'll start the podcast with it so we get to hear it. But yeah, so all of his family comes, and Gary, he's like on the couch, and they're like, Gary, you can't be driving. And he's like, I'm a man of 40. I can still drive.
I have two shapely legs.
And, yes.
Yeah. Well,
he's not even driving a real car. He's driving a golf cart. And he backs up into what's obviously a set table, like a table for the set. And he breaks his arm?
He doesn't break anything. He's just shook up.
Yeah. And well, he gets bandaged.
Yes, he gets bandaged. I really like this episode. However, he's complaining about his shoulder. And his wife goes, "Did you hurt your shoulder?" He's like, "No, but the impact of the accident forced my underwear up on my shoulders." Yeah. It was just an incredibly bad joke.
That an atomic wedgie joke.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's not the only one.
But to me, it just stood out. It was like, that's just like a poorly written joke. Not just bad, but poorly written from, you know, these comic geniuses in this. So that joke really stood out to me.
And yeah, and why not smash your own setup? It's the last day, right? Like, you're not doing this anymore, so why not have at it?
It's really weird. Like, this one and then Larry Sanders, they both knew, like, this is the final show.
Yeah,
the time's up.
Yeah.
He both had, you know, in both of his, Larry Sanders, I guess it could be a sitcom, but both of his shows, he knew what the last episode was, so he just had fun with it. So everybody's gathered around him on the couch. He's flustered. And then Dan Aykroyd comes in as Booley. And he is playing Gary Shandling's brother. But he's playing it with the Southern drawl that he played in the movie. So that the character he plays in here is exactly the way he played the character in the movie.
Did they mention that he was his brother in the show?
Yes.
So he was a reoccurring...
No. He was just here for the last episode. So it's the only time
I must have missed that.
So he mentions during the 4 years that he has...
No, he never mentions it during the 4 years.
Oh, so just...
But this is out of nowhere. It's like, just like they do. Oh, it's my brother, Booley. His name is Booley.
It's just like a Southern preacher, basically, right? Like you're...
Yeah, Southern businessman. A businessman.
Like encroaching on Foghorn Leghorn. I'll say, Gary, you cannot drive in the moors, mister. You know, I've had a man for you, you know.
I did enjoy, like, Gary Shandling's portrayal of a frail old woman.
Basically,
he was trying to do Jessica Tandy from the movie, and I did enjoy it because Gary Shandling's not known for his acting. He's like Seinfeld. Seinfeld is Seinfeld every time. Shandling is like Shandling. So just to see him overacting as a frail 80-year-old woman, I thought that was funny.
Right. So like regular show, he's just doing like basically an exaggerated version of himself.
That's
kind of what I got from Seinfeld. Like if you talk to him, he would be a lot like the show, but not completely. Like of course there's over the top moments, but
right.
That show I'm a lot more well-versed in. So thank you for giving me that baseline.
and by the way, thanks to Derek for... These episodes are almost impossible to find.
Yeah.
So Derek found this episode for us. So thank you, sir, for that.
Yeah.
Or maybe not, because it seems like...
Yeah.
It seems like Derek is really... We made Derek watch Star Trek for The Which Is More Gooder. And he's like... And he wasn't happy about that. Now we're making him watch...
Not that I wasn't happy, but I didn't get it.
He's like, I'm watching, I've never seen Driving Miss Daisy or it's the Gary Shandling Show. I don't know what the fuck is going on.
To be fair, I don't think anybody's seen It's a Gary Shandling Show. So
we made him watch two episodes based on Star Trek. One Futurama, one Family Guy. Go check that out, though. It was a lot of fun.
Which Is More Gooder podcast.
I had a good time with that one, but you know.
So Dan... His brother, he hires a driver, character actor Paul Winfield.
Evening, gal.
Hey,
Miss Vivian.
Hey. Brother Booley.
Great to see you.
Brother Booley, good to see you.
Pleasure's all mine. Hey, little brother, I was driving by. Couldn't help noticing you rode over the bushes.
I hit the president and his family? Oh, great. Now I'll never get any insurance. I knew that would happen.
Yeah, doodle, Gary.
Oh, boy, honey, right on the arm. What the hell's a doodle anyway? What's he trying to tell me?
Gary, I've been thinking along the lines of getting you a driver.
Oh, Bully, that's a great idea.
That is not a good idea.
Sure it is.
I do not need a driver. They're pretentious.
Now, Gary, I know you are a remarkably spry and independent man of 40.
Well, I have my own teeth, I will say that. But I do not need a driver.
That still doesn't mean that you can drive your own car. Now, I've got a fella sitting out in the car. Just want you to meet him for your own good. Just do me this favor.
Bully, I don't want to meet anybody.
This is for your own good, Gary. You should not be driving that car.
You're wasting your time.
Hulk!
Oh, yeah, I want the Incredible Hulk driving me. How do you know when he's going to turn back into Bill Bixby? And then, boom.
Hulk, I'd like you to meet Gary Shandling and his lovely wife, Phoebe.
Hi, Hulk. Nice to meet you.
Glad to meet you.
Hulk, you are wasting your time. It's nice to meet you, but I do not need a driver. I have two very strong, shapely legs, I might add, and can carry me anywhere I need to go. And I'll demonstrate right now. Excuse me.
What a bitch.
I have a question about that. What is he known for? Because I looked up his IMDb and I couldn't really see
You know what he was in? Star Trek 2. Right. He was in Star Trek.
Wasn't he an admiral or something?
Yes.
Was he part of the admiralty? Yeah.
Was he known for that?
When Khan put that thing in his head.
Oh, yes.
He was in Chekhov.
He wasn't an admiral, yes.
Okay. So Derek has no idea what we're talking about.
Now I know where I know him from, though, because, yes, that's an iconic scene, Wrath of Khan.
Paul Winfield is like, he's that guy. I know that guy. I don't know. He was a judge in Presumed Innocent. He just had a career.
He's probably done tons of TV.
Tons of movie. Very respected. A very good character actor.
And that is definitely on display here because he is playing a character. Gary is trying to, Paul is playing a Southern gentleman who's hired to drive. Basically become the houseman. His major domo. He's doing everything. He's doing the groceries and the laundry and whatever else.
Well, his name is Hulk.
Hulk.
But when Dan Aykroyd's Southern drawl, it sounds like Hulk. And Gary goes, "Oh, great! I don't want to have the Hulk as a driver. When is he going to be Bill Bixby?" You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I thought.
Now, the Incredible Hulk is a Marvel character, Derek. That you might. Oh, sorry.
Yes, thank you, Mark.
So Paul, then the first thing Gary does, he has to go to the store, and Paul wants to drive.
Yes, the first thing is Gary storms off, and Paul Winfield goes, "What a bitch!" And he's called, and I like this line. He calls him Miss Gary.
Miss Gary.
He goes, "Miss Gary." He goes, "I am not a miss. I'm married.
So I'm a Mrs. Gary.
And I technically, I might be a man, so it might be Mr.
Yeah, there's a good chance I'm a man, so, you know. So call me Mr. He goes, Mr. What is it? Mr. sounds like, he says something.
A carnival thing or something?
Yeah.
Something along those lines.
What if I called you Miss Hulk? He goes, then I'd, take the legs out from under you or something like that. It was pretty, they develop, I guess, a dynamic.
Because then we see him, they cut to him cleaning his place, and he's got this trunk, and he pulls out this fake rubber butt, and he starts dusting the butt.
At first I thought it was a bra. I was like, but no, they're not going that risque. Yeah. And then, so was this a bit from the show then, this fake butt?
No, it was just him,
this was designed for this episode only.
It was. That's right.
I've never seen another episode of the show. I've only seen the last episode. I don't know what else he did. See, my parents would pay for cable. Well, my dad refused to pay extra for cable. You know, not to mention, I don't think we had Showtime in Canada up in the late 80s, early 90s. I'm not sure.
We had, when we grew up, you could either get HBO or Showtime.
Mm.
Or Cinemax and the Movie Channel. Those were two separate.
Okay.
I mean, you could get them all four together, but we went with HBO Showtime. And this was like the first show that I remember not being a network show.
Right. And
like a TV show, a weekly recurring TV show that was not on
ABC, CBS, or NBC.
Right, yes. Yeah.
Those are the American channels we did get.
Yeah.
So if it wasn't on there, I didn't see it, fortunately.
Gary goes to the store and he's walking through the sets.
Yeah.
I think it was like a really clever idea where he's just walking through the sets and
was that normal?
The audience on one side and the sets on the other.
Was that a normal thing to have the sets be obvious?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Because, again, I've never seen any episodes of the show, so I don't know what's normal, what's not. This whole thing was very bizarre to me because it's Gary Shandling, and then Dan Aykroyd comes in with a Southern accent, pretends to be his brother, and then he just gives him a black man, which is weird. And then we find out that Dan Aykroyd's later on, we find out he's paying him $80 a week to do this, and he's been doing it for 5 years.
Yeah, there's a time gap.
Yeah, there's a time gap.
There's a time lapse on this.
I mean, and that's the same as the movie of Driving Miss Daisy. They do, it's like that movie takes over like 30 years.
Something like that,
So Gary's walking to the store and Paul Winfield is following him in the golf cart. And then he gets in and then Gary starts, why are you going so fast? Only go 2 miles an hour.
Yeah, yeah. I've never had this thing above three. And then he has like some sort of like a pseudo fantasy.
He has an accident. Yeah, not an accident, but he hits the brakes and Gary hits his head.
Yeah,
which is just like terrible, terrible acting.
Going three. And he hit the brakes on a golf cart. Yeah, that's gonna send him flying. Yeah.
So they have this Indy 500 flashback where they're driving.
And they're doing it, it's just voiceover. They're doing it like it was Riff Tracks or something like that, where they're just kind of commenting.
Yes, because there's this old footage of the Indy 500 of cars flipping out.
Which is a device I've seen in other shows who've done it. They just take like old footage from race cars or whatever and then pretend to be the driver's voices or, you know, old flying footage and, you know, you're doing the voice of the pilots or something like that. So I've seen that kind of thing before, not often, but once or twice. So it was kind of funny to see it again. And then he's like, oh, no, I'm crashing or whatever. He's trying to get him to go right in the...
Right. So, yes, Gary says, I don't make left turns. And
I don't believe in him.
I don't believe in left turns.
He doesn't believe in left turns.
And they're doing the Indy 500. It's like, ma'am, if I make a left turn, I'm going to go into the wall. It's like,
no, he wants him to turn right.
Oh, turn right.
He's running, they're running like basically a NASCAR race, right?
Yes.
So, so it's all left turns. So then they allegedly crash, but he's out, and then Paul Winfield goes in and does all the groceries for him.
Then we cut to a scene in the cemetery, which is, that was in the movie as well. In the movie, she's visiting her husband in the cemetery. Here, Carrie is visiting his dog, but... Paul Winfield doesn't know that at first. He thinks it's his wife or whatever. He goes, we're here for a goddamn dog.
Well, I'm the one who hit him.
Yes. And another funny line is Paul Winfield goes to Gary. It's like, I wouldn't do David Letterman. He's kind of snarky.
And I mean, Shanley does get his own talk show eventually, right? Doesn't he?
He didn't have one. He did the Larry Sanders Show, which was
A parody. Yeah,
but he never had his own talk show. So what happened was Gary Shandling did a special called the Gary Shandling Show 25th Anniversary, which was a parody of a talk show. Like he had a talk show for 25 years. They were showing old clips.
Oh yeah, yeah, okay.
Producers saw that and they're like, "We like that. So let's turn it into a show." So his comedy special was him pretending to have a talk show for 25 years. And then that turned into the Larry Sanders Show.
Which is him pretending to have a talk show for another,
five or six years
or whatever.
Yes, 5 or 6 years on there where he's playing the character.
See, this is where I think I got confused. I thought we were going to be watching a talk show hosted by Gary Shandling. And Dan Aykroyd was the guest. That's what I thought we were in for. I had no idea about this sitcom, the fourth wall breaking, none of it. I had no idea. I'm sorry that I should have said this off the top of the show, but we're here because I'm like, what the hell's going on? And now they want to do a parody of an award-winning movie. Okay.
Right. And then we cut to Christmas time. So there's a jump.
Another jump. Yep.
And he's reading to Hoke.
That's where the cemetery is where we find out Hoke doesn't know how to read.
Right, which happens. That's right out of the movie.
I think he's probably quoting Morgan Freeman's lines, right? I know my letters, but I can't put them together.
Right, that's exactly from the movie. And he eventually learns how to read, and then we cut to a Christmas time. And
I really missed out on this because I had no idea what the fuck was going on. I'm like, this is so weird. I'm like... It's like a comedy show. He's talking about putting some flowers on his dead dog, and he's like, "Oh, it's a hound," and everything else. And then it takes a serious turn into "I can't read," and I'm like, "What?" It turns into like Sesame Street. Well, it starts with a C, ends with a Y, and he finds the wrong one.
Okay, what does that sound like? K. Well, it's a C. And E. What letter is that? E. Well, actually, it's a Y.
Yeah.
So it's they're pointing out on how fucked up the alphabet is.
I was thinking about that on the drive here. I was actually kind of mulling that over, thinking like, yeah, if you introduce the English language to someone after reason has developed, it's got to be fucked up.
Yeah.
Because we got so many weird rules.
But it's also right after he says that it's the easiest language to learn, too. He makes some kind of statement like that, too. It's like, oh, I can teach you English. It's really easy. And then he shows him how hard it is.
Yeah. I honestly believe that that's why we have to learn it as kids, because that we get told that's just the way it is. And that's the only way we can learn it. And then it somehow makes sense to us the rest of our lives. But as an adult, I wouldn't want to learn English.
It's actually very true. You know that I after E, except after C rule?
Yeah.
There's more words in the English language that break the rule than follow the rule.
Yes.
So it makes no sense that it's a rule. It's actually not. Yes.
And then we're up in Canada, where center, you guys turn the E and the R around.
Yep, but we don't do it for everything. Like, we don't spell better with an R.
And what's the deal with you? And whoever is in charge of you up here in Canada, let's put you in every word. Humor. Let's put a U in there.
Yeah, color.
Color. Let's put another U in there. It's
Scott, that's how you spell the word correctly.
What?
You're the ones who fucked it up. No, you got lazy and decided.
Too many words. Too many letters. Take that letter out of there.
No, it's color, not color. Like
I'm sorry. This coming from the country that created the word y'all.
Okay. Hey, we're condensing. You guys are expanding. We're condensing. You all, y'all. Bam.
You all's not a word.
If you haven't figured it out by now, we just like to hear ourselves talk. So we expand our words to make them longer. And that way we can get more syllables in and hear ourselves talk longer.
We have to make our words longer because it's colder here and we need to generate the heat.
That's right. Okay. It's a functionality thing, really. Yeah.
Oh, man.
We spell functionality with four U's, by the way. Anyway.
The silent U on the end.
Yeah. Oh, you don't have that?
No. So it's Christmas time, and Dan Aykroyd shows back up, and he brings Gary a gift.
He says, "I just stopped by to say hi." Not Merry Christmas. I just stopped by to say hi, hand a box, and go get my check. You know?
And Gary's like, he didn't get a gift for his brother, Bully or whatever. So he runs over. It's like, we got to run over to the neighbors and see if they got an extra gift. So they leave. This really didn't happen much in the show. Like, Gary Shandling was pretty much in every scene of the show.
I would think so.
So here they leave and it's just Dan Aykroyd and Paul Winfield.
See y'all later. Well, Hoke. How have you been?
Oh, fine, fine. You know old Gary let fly a real corker every month or two.
Must make it mighty nice for you.
Yeah, but you know, Miss Billy Crystal needs a driver, too. In fact, his people been after me. I mean, they said I could name my own price.
Oh, they did they?
Uh-huh.
Well, I suppose $80 a week doesn't go as far as it used to.
What would you say to 90? What would you say to 200,000 a year?
Land of Goshen. That is some raise.
Now, look, I'm worth every penny. I'm his analyst, his driver, his financial advisor, his acting coach.
Now, I notice the improvement.
Oh, Lord, it's like delivering a baby cow.
Well, okay, Hulk. You got yourself a deal. Keep it quiet, though. I only pay Pete $50,000 a year to be Gary's friend.
But I mean, together. Yeah, but if you're going to trust a scene.
Oh, yeah, you can trust it.
Hey, just hang on. Before we go any further, I don't blame Gary Shandling for not buying Dan Aykroyd a birthday present, considering he'd only seen him once in the entire run of the show and then not again for 5 years.
Yeah, apparently. And the thing is, with Hoke, it's he thinks that he's there to spring him now. Like, you're going to get me out of this dumbass gig.
No. And during this time, Hulk has learned to read and all that, and that'll come into play. But Hulk's like
Malcolm X and do the right thing, and
yes,
and then he picks up Greek.
Yes.
and he reads Trump's The Art of the Deal.
The Art of the Deal. I've got that written in my notes. It's like of all the yes, I read Trump's Art of the Deal. Apparently, he's getting paid $80 a week, but then he convinces Dan to pay him $200,000 a week.
A year. Still, that's a lot of money.
He's paying him to be, because he's like, look, Mr. Booley, I drive for him, I clean for him, I do his taxes, I'm his lawyer.
Yeah. His financial advisor.
I'm his manager, yes.
And they keep pointing out, too, that his wife has nothing to do on the show.
Which I think is brilliant, because in a lot of sitcoms, the wife doesn't have anything to do. She's just there to say, oh, my husband.
Yeah. Point out what an idiot he is.
Mm-hmm. And I thought that was subtle, brilliant writing right there. It's like, Mr. Gary, your wife doesn't have anything to do in these shows.
Yeah. Sort of like Mrs. Brady. Right? She was the last one to have a storyline.
Yeah. Or like in Home Improvement. It's like,
oh, yes.
Like his wife, you know, Jill was just there to, oh, you know, Tim glued his head to the table again. What an idiot.
Yeah, you idiot. Or how he's parenting wrong or whatever. Yeah.
So I thought that was very subtle, clever writing. Saying that women don't have enough to do in these sitcoms.
Yeah, which luckily changes. Well, I don't know about luck, but yeah, changes later on. You do get more balanced shows like King of Queens. I know it's weird saying putting King of Queens up here, but but they try and give equal time, right?
And then we cut again to the future.
Well, speaking of the wife, she's now passed.
She has now passed, and Gary comes out with a walker, and he's all feeble.
And what's with the hair?
I think it was just to be silly. He had this wig on.
I guess he got called Miss Gary so many times that he's just kind of leaning into it, I suppose.
And the show basically ends where Paul Winfield is force-feeding Gary pie.
Yeah.
And it's just running down. He doesn't want... I'm done. No, you're not done, Miss Gary.
Did we watch a murder on this show?
Yes.
Like, that was attempted murder, was it not?
It reminded me of that scene in one of the Nightmare on Elm Street movies where he force feeds this girl, and she just gets fatter and fatter and fatter. It looked like a torture scene where it's just like...
Yeah, I expected Paul Winfield to be like, do you want to play a game?
Yeah.
You know, oh, you like pie, do you? Yeah. I have all the pie.
It's like that Simpsons thing where the Homer goes to hell. It's like, you like donuts? We'll have all the donuts in the world.
Oh.
So Gary Shandling can't keep up.
And then after that, we get where, Gary just said, that's it. This is the series. This was the last show we're ever going to make. And he's like, I'd like to drive around the sets. And he drives around the sets. He waves to the audience. He waves to the other actors in the show. And he drives off. And then we see him back up because he forgot his suitcase. And then he drives off again. And we see him back up because they gave him the wrong suitcase. And that was it. I vaguely remembered some of it and watching it. It brought back. I just remember watching this show. And I remember liking it. I remember Gary Shandling before he got the suit. He had a particular look. It was a flannel shirt tucked into jeans, no belt with the sleeves rolled up. And that was his look for the longest time before he put a suit on for Larry Sanders.
Yeah. Kind of like Seinfeld had, was it like the sport coat over the t-shirt?
Yes.
Kind of deal, right?
It's like, I sort of threw you guys into this. This was like...
I got to tell you, I was watching this last night at work. So I work overnights and I have lots of time to myself and I have my little tablet and I'm just watching it. And I turn it on and I'm watching it. And it gets to the end, and I'm like, what the fuck was that? That was my first and only reaction. Because I've seen Gary Shandling a lot. One of my favorite things is he was on a show called The Green Room with Paul Pervenza. It was filmed in Montreal at the Just for Laughs Festival. And it was basically a panel with different comics, and one of them was Bo Burnham. And one was Ray Romano, and one was, I think, Mark Maron. And Bo Burnham looks up and he says, I'm from the younger generation, so I just have one question for you guys. Who are you? And Gary Shandling comes back with, that's so great. That's so great because it's so mutual. And of course, that got a laugh too. And it was just such a great comeback. And that's how I know Gary Shandling, with like the very dry but quick and very sharp humor.
And
this wasn't that. This was cheesy, over the top sitcom stuff. I don't know if that's what the rest of the show was like, or maybe it's just the last show was. One.
And I loved it. Like I said, they were going over the top, making fun of sitcoms, making fun of the wacky neighbor. And
oh, so he would have had a wacky neighbor.
Oh yeah, we didn't see him much in this episode, but all those people in there, you know, he had neighbors. The woman who was his wife didn't start off as his wife. They got married while the show was going on.
Oh, so recast the wife?
No, it was, they were just friends when the show started, and then they got married.
So there was an actual plot.
Yeah.
Okay.
There was one show I remember, it was like Gary got caught in a well. So, yes, it was just cheesy, over-the-top stuff. Now, I love cheesy, over-the-top stuff. And like I said, I loved Gary's quote-unquote acting in this, just acting like a indignant older woman. It just warmed my heart seeing this. And I like Gary Shandling. I like his stand-up. I pretty much like everything Gary Shandling did. And the saddest thing about Gary Shandling is when he was on Comedians and Cars
Getting Coffee.
Getting Coffee, him and Seinfeld were talking. And he was like, the only time 62 is young is when somebody dies. Yeah. Because they were talking about that. It's like, nobody says he was, a young 62 retired. It's like, the only time you're young is, I think he said along the lines of, the only time somebody considers 62 young is when you die at that age. And he basically died like a year after that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah.
I just remember him from for me, the most prominent would be the Marvel movies. Senator Stern came in and fucked shit up for Iron Man. Yes. So, but again, that's smart.
Oh, I forgot. So that's a connection. He mentions the Hulk in this movie.
Yeah, and then he's a senator in
Iron Man. He's a senator in the Iron Man movies.
And no one can see this, but you're wearing an Iron Man t-shirt right now. So there you go.
But I remember in his stand-up, I liked his stand-up. I mean, I was just a big fan of Gary Shandling, and I liked this show. And like I said, it was one of the first shows outside of the box of the natural sitcom.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what I didn't quite get that until a little bit in, where I was like, oh, it seemed a lot like Home Improvement. Just the sets are very prominently, like we're looking at half a house here.
Yeah.
And nothing happens on our half of the house. It all happens on that half of the house.
Yes.
or against the wall that we're looking at, right? So, or we're in. So, Derek, I got to ask, would you recommend this show? Like, based on just seeing the final episode, would you recommend people check out the Gary Shandling show?
Based on just this episode? Hell no. I still do have the entire season of the entire series of Gary Shandling on my hard drive. So I might go back and check out a few other shows. Like I said, I don't think I got it. I don't think I understood. I didn't get all of the references to Driving Miss Daisy because I've never seen it.
He doesn't know the cage from Star Trek.
Yes.
He doesn't know Driving Miss Daisy. What good are you, man? Hey.
And I have a podcast talking about movies. What do I do? I'm the horror guy.
This is a little, and this has nothing to do with anything. Derek said he works midnights. And Derek is also a stand-up comedian. So at like 3 a.m, I get this bing, and he's like, he sent me a joke about gay porn.
I know, I was in.
What do you think about this gay porn
joke? I'm in the same chat. It was through the
group chat. Yeah, all of us, yeah.
So I woke up to that. I'm like, oh, I'm messaging
Derek. Oh, sorry.
What? He's talking about watching gay porn. Oh, God. I'm going back to sleep.
So now we know what he watched after he watched this episode. Yeah,
exactly.
I don't want to know what got what connected those two. What was it about the Gary Shandling show that got him into gay porn?
Okay, so but would you recommend this? Or is it just like too weird or too out of context?
So for me, like, because I grew up on the same sitcoms, right, of the 80s, you know, Three's Company, stuff like that. I love them. And I can't imagine making fun of them for 4 years straight. I can imagine doing one episode where you're breaking the fourth wall and pointing out the beleaguered wife and, you know, the sets and all that stuff. But 4 years of doing those jokes, I can't even imagine what you're doing over 4 years. I would want to maybe go back and check out the first couple of episodes and then make my judgment call. But based on this, no.
Now,
especially
what
they're throwing out everything, right? We're coming in at the end when, like, this is just, yeah, we're driving into the set. We're going to have Dan Aykroyd on.
Well, I thought that Dan Aykroyd and Paul Winfield were both excellent in this.
Of course.
And especially the fact that Gary Shandling can't act and those two can act.
That's the one thing that I did see is I'm like, I was, when those two were on, I was kind of like, oh, okay. There's a clear separation between the caliber of acting between Paul and Dan and Gary Shandling. Like there was, It was clear they were acting circles around him.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, when watching Seinfeld, when you get these, you know, special guests on that, they were just playing a character, but I mean, everything seemed to be at the level, but I think it's because Seinfeld surrounded himself with actors.
Exactly. And and we didn't get to see it too much in this show, but Gary Shandling did the same thing. All the people in the sitcom are actors. He didn't hire comedians. He hired real actors, which helped build up the show, but also showed that he couldn't act.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of an interesting phenomenon. I think I'd have to go back and watch the first couple just to see what the baseline is, because now we're getting the weird, wild, like, closing. He wants to go out with a bang.
Yeah.
And that's all I know right now about this show. So,
like, did he always do a parody of movies? Like, did he do parodies of movies
wasn't
before?
Always parodies of movies. Like I said, sometimes, like you said, there was one time when baby Jessica got caught in the well. So they did a parody of that.
Too soon, man.
Yeah.
All right. So that's it. I guess what we're saying is you have to watch, you can't base the series on one episode. You're going to have to watch the entire series.
You can't base it on the last episode.
And the last episode.
Yeah.
promote your podcast.
Is this coming out this week?
No, this will be coming out at the beginning of October.
Oh, perfect. So you can find us, Canadian Movie Crew, CanadianMovieCrew.com. I think it's about early October now, so we're starting our retrospective on the Exorcist series. And of course, we just took a look at Saw X, so that should be up. Also, we have Scott joining us for Ready to Rumble over on our Or Is It podcast, where we take a look at bad movies. And I'm really looking forward to recording that one as we speak. So.
Yes.
That should be fun.
And by the way, we're doing it on a totally different day. We're not doing it right after this episode.
No, totally. No.
Yes.
It should already be up by now, so you can check it out.
Well, we're bringing on Paul Winfield. So,
yes. He's dead. So
his manager lied to me then.
Yes.
Wait, that wasn't his manager?
No.
Oh, dang it.
And why are we paying him $200,000 a year?
$200,000 a year? I thought that would get him on the podcast.
All right, that's it. Thanks everybody for listening, and we'll see everybody here next time on the Dan Aykroyd Podcast.
To support this podcast, please go to www.patreon.com/ScottWhite and give what you're able. If you're listening on iTunes, please give a review. That should help people find this podcast. And no matter what services you use to listen, please leave feedback. We always want to improve. Thank you for listening to the Dan Aykroyd Podcast.
Well, that's it. That's the last episode of the whole series. Boy, it went by like that, didn't it? If you want to keep your TVs now, that's up to you. I hope you enjoyed this. I didn't even give you space to laugh there, did I? I hope you enjoyed this parody of Driving Miss Daisy that we did. And I want to thank Paul Winfield for playing Hulk and Dan Aykroyd for playing Bully. If you don't mind, I'd like to take one last drive through the old neighborhood. Good night, everybody, and thanks a lot.
This has been a Cross the Streams Media Podcast.
That theme song, this is the theme to Gary's show. This is the theme to Gary. I remember, I have the complete point of view and concept of what that show was from the ground floor up, what it represents, what it is about. So when it came to the theme song, I knew, because I never do a project unless I know what the heart of it is about. So then it's easy. Once you know the heart of it, you go with the theme song. And I remember, because I can't sing or anything, I said, no, the theme song has to be something like, this is the theme to the show, this is the theme to the show, this is the theme, this is the theme, this is the theme to, this is the opening theme to the show. And I didn't even know more, I didn't even want to know more than that. I said, right. You follow me? And Alan Zweibel jumped right on that. And I think he wrote 90% of those words. We wrote some together, and he took that lead and just went with it. And then we had two different guys come in to sing it, and one was goofier than the other, and we played it for somebody. And they said, well, you can't use that one because it's so goofy. And that's all we needed to hear.